Living in Appalachia is rough. We deal with violence, gun violence, assault, sexual assault, and rape. And these are things that may be talked about within our podcast. And we just want to let you know, viewer and listener discretion is advised. We live in some of the oldest mountains in the world.
Stolen land, stolen again to create the extraction state.
We are real people talking about real things in a real way.
This is Appalachian Living.
And welcome back to What's Next on WHIS 1440 AM 97.3 FM online at WHISradio.com. On your phone with the My Radio To Go app, my name is Matt Deal. Happy as always to be your host and happy to be joined up next by Lindsay and Tom Reiser, who are a couple folks who do God knows how many things, but they also have this great podcast. It's called Appalachian Living. Am I right about that?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Make sure.
Thanks
I
for having us.
Well, absolutely. But recently in discussing Wyoming County water issues and beyond, it's funny, we already are working on some other projects together, but you all got tagged about 6,000 times in some different videos and stuff I was talking about. So it seems
really
special to have you guys on here and talk about it. So thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I really appreciate it and acknowledgement of all the work we've been doing for a while.
Well, and let's get into, before we get to the water, which is, of course, the big issue of the day, tell me a little bit about the podcast and what compelled you all to start it and some of the things that you guys focus on.
Well, the water got me to start it. The TikTok account was my personal TikTok account. And if you go way back, you'll see my cancer struggle. I had breast cancer 3 years ago. But when this water crisis happened, you know, and I started getting involved with Richard Altizer and the Christians, I decided to turn the TikTok into something about the water. And I figured Appalachian Living, what better term, you know, 'cause this is Appalachian Living. And so I started just hooping and hollering about it, trying to get people to acknowledge it and care, and water donations.
And it's been a year to the day since she put up a video
that went viral, semi-viral.
Went semi-viral, and it got a lot of traction. It was very emotional, and you know, we were right next to the creek that was actively being poisoned and is still being poisoned. So that's kind of how this thing started. I've been in the media business for 25 years. I've worked here and there and everywhere at every job imaginable. And I said, you know, we could do a podcast. And
yeah. And, my friend Elise, she's my co-host, and she has some ties with the environmental community back in the day, you know, like Keeper of the Mountains with Larry Gibson and stuff like that, which is our second episode, because our first episodes were all that what made us. But I guess I called and asked for her advice on what to do with these kinds of things. And she's come up here and we started talking and we become best friends, really. And I guess one day I just called her and I was just complaining. Like, I was just complaining about something. She's like, okay, so this is what your podcast is going to be about. And I was like, well, all right.
You're cool. Like, all right, I guess you have the content. All right.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, yeah, I got something to say. You know, I got something to say. And so I said, well, we'll just piggyback off of the Appalachian Living. We'll continue to try to bring attention to it and donations and stuff like that. And it just kind of just snowballed from there, you know.
As it will do. But again, talking with Lindsay Reiser, Tom Reiser with Appalachian Living, and the issue that brought us into this conversation being the water. And one thing I want to talk about that you mentioned is, you know, how long you guys have been talking about it. To some people, they might have just been hearing it as more footage went viral from different meetings and things over Memorial Day weekend. But this I've been at this job for 14 years. I've been, I think, news director for over a decade of that. And this is nothing new. Wyoming County beyond. I mean, people have been beating the drum of we have poor water quality, and now additional things have really, you know, come into play to sort of make things worse. So tell the listeners a little bit about how long this has gone on and how bad it is, the scope of it all.
Well, like you said, this is nothing new. And we've heard of other communities. I remember a decade or two ago about a place in Wyoming County, I think around Herndon and in that area, they had bad water, you know. So our water, our well was sunk in the 90s here on Welch Pommel Road. And we got Welch City water. But the Christians issue, that started, I think, February of 2023 was the year. And that was the year that was the moment I grew up on this land, right? My dad lives right next door. And he let me have a little piece of property. I put a double wide on it so I can take care of him and the land and all that. So as we were picking out the house and we were getting ready to put the house on here, that happened.
The creek behind us completely dried up.
Yeah. And so where we are is Indian Creek. This is on Welch Pommel Road, right? If you're going down the river or down the creek, about 2 miles, that's where the Christians are. So we would be completely dry here, and it would be flowing just like a regular flow, but stink, and the white stringy stuff, different colors, different days, started coming out up there. And that was not normal for this area.
And that's when the artesian well popped up next to the Christians, is shortly after this creek went dry. And they have been rerouting water into underground mines. That's the reality of what's going on here.
Yeah, so this is a bit of what Richard Altizer, when I talked with him recently, and if you all didn't hear that interview, you definitely should. You get this online. But just follow Richard Altizer in general. But he goes, you know, he doesn't just say the water's bad, the water's poison. He goes much further to say, I'm pretty sure they're redirecting water, the flow of water into certain mines so that they can sequester methane emissions and then also sell that for carbon credits while they still can in the market in California. They're just also not telling anybody because they're making money off of it. And technically they'd be privy to part of that. Being on top of that is the theory that he has posited. And, you know, it's certainly, I hate to say it, I'm not trying to make a pun, but seems like it maybe holds some water.
It definitely holds water.
People are sickly, but still, you guys are seeing this with your own eyes. Just that this is how water flows, and suddenly one day, no, it don't. And you know, nature's weird and wacky, but also when you've watched a creek flow behind your house your whole life, and then one day it doesn't, you can't help but be suspicious.
And
yeah, listen to the citizens that have been here for decades. They know what this land does. And they know when something isn't right. And you can tell when something's natural and when it's not. You can make these assumptions for yourself. We during that meeting, right, in Pineville on Memorial Weekend, they gave us water testers. And the gist of it is, when I test this water here, it's about normal of what a stream should be. But if you go down there, it's quadruple what it should be. So.
Yeah. And when we moved in here, I mentioned to my father, who is a lifelong coal miner. He, you know, was a boss here at U.S. Steel in the 90s. And I said, Dad, the creek here behind my house is completely dry. And he said, why don't you take a walk one day and find out where it goes? He said, there's going to be a point where it disappears. And I wish that I had listened to him, but I didn't. And, you know, we were busy, you know, settling a new house and all of that. But I think there's another thing possibly going on. I think maybe they're playing the long game. When we talked to Than, I cannot remember Dr. Than's.
Hit.
Hit. Dr. Hit. Who is a very cool guy. He's the scientist with West Virginia Rivers Coalition. And he said that whenever you see that white stringy stuff in the water, which is what we're seeing a lot of, that is
bacteria.
And
it produces methane.
There is another, bacteria will, in the long run, produce methane.
So they're extracting what they have now, and they're producing more for later.
Along with poisoning everything around us.
Again, theory.
That's a theory, but I did my own research, Matt. You know how reliable that is. But
I really wish people hadn't ruined that phrase for us in general, because God forbid you look up anything a little bit, then the moment you say that sentence, it's like, I know I sound that.
Well, we did
bad.
Talk to a scientist.
Right.
But most people's research does not involve sitting down and inviting an actual scientist. Usually it's like, I Googled for 37 seconds until I saw something that suited my confirmation bias.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. So it's, and this stuff is popping up all around. It's in Twin Falls State Park.
It seems like it's growing.
It's all around the county. There are places in McDowell County that it's popping up, and all of these, you know, the water table is all connected. When you start screwing with it, of course you're going to have problems everywhere, right? It doesn't go away. That water is going to flow where it wants to flow. And when you forcibly or accidentally, maybe they, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they accidentally busted some sort of aquifer, right? And when you do that and then you let it happen for years, this is what happens.
You got to give them an accident happen, but you got to own up to it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? So you get people being affected
and
by
folks
it.
Called us crazy.
Yeah.
Folks said this is not happening.
And
this was
local
the
folks.
This was the story from the majority of the folks around here who by default will defend these energy companies to the death because
jobs.
You know. And if they actually think something's going on, they're not going to say anything. Because then that may be your job.
So I've been coining the phrase silence is violence.
I mean, because when it, again, is if it's knowledge you have about what's affecting other people's water.
And people's lives.
Yeah. Well, that's what I want to talk to you guys about next. Again, I'm talking with Tom Reiser, Lindsay Reiser. They have a podcast called Appalachian Living. And a big part of what they focus on, what they talk about is our issue of the day. Wyoming County water, but, you know, water in southern West Virginia in general. But let's talk a little bit about, while it's coming to a head more and more as far as the scope of people without access to decent water, how many people are getting water with these donations. And then also after that, maybe we'll talk a little bit about the health, though that is obviously harder to connect, but there are certainly more than enough issues to make people think there's a connection. But first, as far as people that don't have access reliably to water and are depending on donations that Richard and everyone else is passing out. Tell us about what you see all the time and how regular this is.
You could bring in truckloads of water every day and it wouldn't fulfill the need. Because if you think about it, these people cannot even bathe, clean their house, wash their clothes. Just imagine how much water you use in one day. Washing your hands, brushing your teeth, not just drinking or cooking with it. It's really unfortunate for me to say I'm lucky because I can at least bathe in my water. But I still don't drink my water.
Lucky to bathe in my water. Like at that, something got messed up here.
That's kind of messed up.
Yeah, and this is America. In 2025.
Yeah.
You know,
and I'm lucky I can bathe in my water.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with that. And it really angers me. And it angers me that Richard Altizer is the one that is donating water and trying to get water to these folks. And Lindsay has too. Lindsay has been doing things in the background for 2 years to try to get water donations. That was the original point of her TikTok that went semi-viral.
I just wanted people to bring water, right? I wanted people to either donate to a GoFundMe so we could buy water or, you know, send some pallets of water or something.
Yeah. Where is our elected officials? Where are they? Can they not organize water donations?
We are citizens. We all have jobs, lives, people that we have to take care of in our own family, but also feel the need that our neighbors are sick and dying because they don't have clean water. And you barely have enough water. So you hoop and holler about it, and people are like, oh, that's awful. And then they scroll.
Yeah.
Forget.
Well, because again, when you depend on, you know, donations or someone to come through, and that's not quite the same as a reliable infrastructural response. But another thing I wanted to touch on, and it's, you know, it's hard to, you know, guaranteed correlate, but people can't help but notice, hey, we haven't had good water in some time. We've had these other issues. And, you know, you mentioned, not trying to connect it, but your own struggles with breast cancer. But I've heard just a number of people say, you know, I moved here. This is the water. And then also these health problems started. How much do you all hear this side of things from people that you talk to?
It's, well, I mean, I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 42, 41. My neighbor that I grew up with, my cousin, my sister, you know, we were like sisters. We grew up together. She had cancer and went through chemo the exact same time I did. Different kind of cancer. But she also went through cancer at 40. Two brothers down the road died within a year of each other. People are getting sick all over. And something that was mentioned at the meeting that I think is very important to think about is that we don't have a hospital or any sort of healthcare. I mean, we got little doctor's offices and that's it. But when I was diagnosed with cancer, all of my treatments and all of my surgeries and everything was in Raleigh County. So yeah. Is my number counted as a Raleigh County number? Are we really counting these cancer numbers, or are they too scared to, because this could be an cancer
epidemic
cluster? Because I can't tell you how many people that I know on this road that have had cancer and or their children have special needs, which we also have special needs, a special needs child. So, you know, I don't want to say this is what caused it, but I feel like it's important to say these are the things that we are going through. There's other people all around that's going through the same thing. There has to be. I know it's not always correlation equals causation or whatever. Sometimes it does.
Yeah. Well, and this is something that there's no question here. This is just something maybe where we can, you know, complain together for a moment. But, you know, you grow up. I grew up in Welch is where I come from. And I moved up to big city of Bluefield. Been here pretty much ever since when I was like, you know, a teenager. But regardless, you live your whole life in southern West Virginia and hear how people talk about West Virginians and West Virginians' health. And there really is just this kind of undercurrent, this theme, whether it's spoken or not, that, well, it's our fault. You know, hey, maybe we're poor. We don't have access to great health care. But, you know, maybe if we laid off the Mountain Dew and cigarettes and stuff, you know, ate less sugar and less processed food, we'd be doing better. And the thing is, there's all those different things you can point to of where, you know, those habits get encouraged and by food deserts and all the other poverty circumstances. There's a lot of people in West Virginia that are drinking pretty poisonous water, live in sites where there used to be God knows what sort of industrial activity, and there's not a whole lot of regulation around it. So I just really get annoyed at that sort of factor being overlooked. Yeah, West Virginians are sicker than just about anywhere else, but I think that there's more reasons to that than just, well, they're bad at taking care of themselves.
Well, my co-host, she said this several times, and it sticks with me. And I think it's important to say is that we have the myth of the inbred hillbilly, right? But when you think about it, how can we all be inbred if we're mutts, right? Yeah.
How diverse was a coal camp?
So, you know, they have this myth of the inbred hillbilly. Be like, those people are dumb and stupid and inbred. Don't pay attention to what's wrong with them. And, you know, my co-host was involved in the Charleston water spill back in, 2014?
Yeah.
And she mentioned this on the podcast at one point. But during that, her sister called her and said, look, I don't really, you know, think about these things, but I just saw, a CSI or some sort of show, primetime show, where it was all about inbred hillbillies. And what a perfect time to, when they've, you know, poisoned their water and they're screaming about it, then to be like, oh, well, don't worry about them. They're just inbred hillbillies. They're not sick. They're just, it's a cause of their own, you know.
Ignorance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just a way to, I feel like it's a way to keep us down.
Yeah, treat it like it's just a symptom of the culture rather than a result of an actual action.
Right.
I've also heard that, you know, I kind of lost my train of thought there.
Sorry, I tend to do that.
Oh, I've got it. I got it. I found the track. Okay, so I have heard. I think it was Richard Altizer that told me that he found a document at some point that said that this area was a sacrifice zone. And that the folks in this area were just going to have to be sacrificed for the greater good.
Mm.
And that's what they said. That this was a sacrifice
zone. But this is all over. This isn't just, you know, it's just not contained to Southern West Virginia. And I think a lot of people need to realize that. We took people on a tour back in April from Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and we were supposed to have quite a few people from the train derailment in East Palestine.
Palestine, yeah.
Every single one of them was sick in the hospital, couldn't make it.
That's the East Palestine people, yeah.
But the Baltimore and Pittsburgh, now the Baltimore people, they have a mountain of coal sitting across the bay that comes from PAX, that they linked to PAX. So we took them there and showed them that, you know, told them about Mother Jones and, you know, the real rednecks and how redneck became a term and stuff like that. But they're dealing with the same things.
Yeah, they have coal dust all over their porches and in their air constantly from the, you know, from the dumping of coal in that area. So. And they say, well, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing we can do to knock this coal dust down. You know, the cost of industry is, you know, it's human life. It's human life.
I like that you mentioned the other places that you know, touring and dealing with them, because one of the more interesting interviews I remember hearing ever that I think about a lot was on NPR at one point in time, and they were talking with a doctor who was trying to talk about environmental pollution for people on a personal health level. And so one of the biggest predictors of your health, your life expectancy, is give me your address and your zip code. And I can tell you a lot about it. And then he goes on, you know, you look at neighborhoods that used to be redlined, say here in, you know, Bluefield, where it used to be only blacks on this side of the track, only whites on this side, and they put all the factories, all the everything else right over there amongst the residential areas. So if this is like all over America, like the industry said, where can we set up, where are the, as you said, sacrifice zones? And unfortunately here we are in, you know, Southern West Virginia, trying to for years on end say, hey, this was a sacrifice zone, but please bring some water. We would like to have water like everybody else.
Yeah, and you know, it's unfortunate, because this is one of the most beautiful places in the world, in my opinion, and it has some of the most. This is the oldest mountain range, one of the oldest mountain ranges in the world, and we are at the top of the bottom of the oldest mountain range in the world, right?
Yeah.
There is so much history here and they are ruining it. And it's just so, so unfortunate. But I guess, you know, it's kind of like our podcast, you know, things almost heaven, nearly hell, you know?
Well, I see that we're, you know, getting warnings from the Zoom folks and everything. So that lets me know, even though I'm having fun, might have to wrap things up here. But I want to, before we go, though, we're going to remind everybody, that podcast we've talked about a couple of times, Appalachian Living, where you can follow them. Well, you go ahead. You give them the plug. Tell them all the places where they can follow along with you guys as you talk about not just the water, but, you know, all the kind of issues that people, you know, it's the conversation we're all having at our dinner tables, except, you know, with way better production value.
I'm doing what I can. Anybody wants to donate to Appalachian Living, go ahead.
We're using cell phones.
I'm using
right
cell
now.
Phones and iPads, and I've got a basic podcast set up here for you know, doing that. But
you can find us Appalachian Living, LIVIN, on YouTube, any podcast streaming,
Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
yeah, Amazon, whatever. And all the social media platforms, of course. I put our shorts and stuff, our
TikTok, Facebook, Instagram.
Thank you
for
naming those. And I really appreciate you, you know, letting us come on here and you tell us what your podcast is. It's The Deal. What is it?
The Deal Break. That's where I put the stuff on, you know, Spotify. Yeah, Spotify, Apple, anywhere else for, you know, because people always like, hey, you can find the interviews at WHISradio.com. They're like, that's a second place. I'm not going there. So I'm starting to find putting them on the other places too. But yeah, The Deal Break is the name of the podcast, or you can follow me on TikTok or wherever. If it's a social media, I'll be there bothering people. So
yeah, I follow you on TikTok and I followed your podcast and stuff. So it's
We're trying to get your daughter's art school paid for. So, you know, we're doing our bit. You know what I'm saying?
Bless you. Cause I don't know how we're doing it otherwise. But, you know, we just work with each other on some other cool stuff coming up here in the near future. But I'm really glad that you guys took a little time to talk with me today.
Yeah.
Again, follow them along YouTube, on podcasts, on TikTok, everywhere else. But Tom Reiser, Lindsay Reiser, thank you guys so much for doing what you do and taking a little time to talk to me about it. I really appreciate it.
You too, Matt. Thank you.
Appalachian Living is sponsored in part by Wade Law Firm, PLLC, Sage Stitch Finance Corporation, representing wisdom in mending what we already have, providing gap funds for resilient renovations.
Appalachian Living is also brought to you by Hope Money Coaching, rescuing you from financial chaos and leading you to a path of financial wellness. Minimalist Gym, helping men and women navigate their health and fitness without restrictive fad diets.